So I'm just not ready to let go of Christmas yet. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, you have all that buildup, you lead up to it. And actually, I don't know if you know this, but we are in a season right now, in a liturgical sense of the word, we're in the season of Christmastide right now. I don't know if you know this, but the 12 days of Christmas, it's not the 12 days leading up to Christmas, it's actually the 12 days leading out of Christmas. Did you know this? The partridge in the pear tree, that's baby Jesus in the manger. It's the partridge in the pear tree. And it leads up to the 12th day, which is Epiphany on the liturgical calendar, and that is a commemoration, hey buddy, of the time when the wise men come and they see baby Jesus, and there's this, we finally get it, kind of heart in it. Epiphany, boom, God shows up, boom. I get it. So if Christmas Day was the partridge in the pear tree and the 12th day, you know what that makes today, right? Five golden rings. I really thought you would join me on that. I really thought you were going to go with me on that. I don't know, I'm just not ready for Christmas to be over because honestly, there's this idea that if Christmas is over, then the magic is over and you got to get back to real life. And real life is sometimes gritty and real life is sometimes hard. And real life is goals and resolutions, and this year's going to be different. And there's some things you want to leave behind so you can get a fresh start going forward. My dad told me years ago when I was, I don't know, high school, maybe definitely before college, he said, you know, sometime every year between Christmas and New Year's, you know, just go back and reread Ecclesiastes. Because it's kind of this reality check, this pushing of the reset button, you know, vanity of vanities. What are you chasing? What are you going hard after? What are you trying to hold on to? What are you trying to bring? And where's the value? What's the value proposition in all of it? And so it, just all these years, Ecclesiastes, sometime between Christmas and New Year's, is kind of that reset button. Get a cup of coffee, 12 chapters, just read it, and see if God has anything to say to you about it. And one of the key passages in Ecclesiastes is what Amanda read to us there, that, you know, to everything, there is a season, right? There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And when you hear that, if you hear an old rock ballad, it says something about how old you are. I'm just saying. But I want to invite you into this because as I was thinking about that, I was, you know, the whole five golden rings thing, and I'm thinking about the seasons of life that come and go and the circles that we go round and round in. And it just occurs to me that maybe today in this Sunday between the Sundays, a time between the times, is a day to grab some perspective. So here's the big idea for today's message. I'm just going to go ahead and give you the punchline. The big idea for today's message is this. The circumstances of your life are not an indicator of God's presence. Because for some of you, the circumstances of your life actually seem to point at his absence. Because there are some things in your life that you're saying, if God were God, why am I still in the middle of this? If God were really looking out for me, why am I stuck the way I'm stuck? God, I need you to come through for me. But the circumstances of your life, I got this from my buddy Andy, the circumstances of your life are not an indicator of the presence of God. And for that reason, you can't allow the enemy to lie to you about the absence of God. And so the thing to do in the midst of these circles of life that your life seems to cycle through, to bring the cross of Christ in the midst of that. In fact, could I pray that over you just now? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you bring the light of Jesus and the cross of Christ to bear in whatever season of life each of my brothers and sisters and I happen to find ourselves in right now? Father, we know the waiting, and we know the mourning, and we know the grieving. And we know the things that we want to be free of, and we know the things we want to step into. And Lord, in Jesus' name, there's part of me that wants to say, God, just rescue me from the moment. But Lord, in Jesus' name, in this Sunday between the Sundays, this time between the times, Lord, you meet us in the moment. would you meet us here with the promise that says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lord Jesus, meet us here. Can we get an amen? We need it. We need it. So let me give you these questions to chew on. We'll come back to them at the end of our time together. But question number one, have you ever questioned God's timing? Have you ever questioned God's timing? I know you shouldn't. I know you don't want to. I know you want to have this humble spirit before the Lord of saying, God, your timing is your timing. You're sovereign. You're God. I'm not. But in the quiet moments, when you wake up in the middle of the night, do you ever find yourself questioning God's timing? Do you ever find yourself wondering, God, what are you up to? Why is it going the way it's going? Why am I? Have you ever been stuck in a bad season? I know it's not a fair question because there's nobody here that hasn't found themselves occasionally stuck in a bad season. In fact, you may be stuck in a bad season right now. You may have found yourself dragged into a bad season and you just can't seem to find traction to get out of it. Question number three, are you needing God to come through? I know these questions are so unfair because every one of us have questioned God's timing. Every one of us have been stuck in a bad season, and every one of us are needing God to come through. In fact, if we were to go around the room right now, I'm sure everybody here could name at least one thing that you're saying, God, in Jesus' name, would you please bring that to a close? Would you please open the door on what's new? God, please, please, please. Well, you know, to everything, there's a time and a season, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, to kill, to heal, to tear, to build, to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance, to scatter, to gather. And you could almost say, well, you know, different seasons of your life, you have different, but it's not about that. It's not about that because it's not about whether you're a teenager, whether you're a young adult, whether you're middle-aged. It's not about the season of life, the chronology of your life. It's about where you find yourself, right? Because you could find yourself in any of these seasons in any given moment. And there's some of them that seem really, really positive, right? A time to be born, a time to laugh, a time to play. And there's others that seem just inherently, objectively negative. And you just want to pray, Lord, would you just get me out of this? Would you just get me out of this? You know, a time to embrace, a time to refrain, a time to search. And nobody wants to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. Some people struggle with that so badly. A time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be silent. And a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And you just think, man, some of those times I just don't want. And some of those times I don't want to live through. Jesus, when he had faced the hardest of times, right? When he had faced the trial, when he had faced the accusation, when he had faced the beating and the crucifixion, and after it was over, after Jesus was raised from the dead and he's 50 days with his disciples telling them all about the kingdom to come and it's glorious and it's Acts chapter 1, I've got it marked in my Bible, they're gathered together, they don't know Jesus is about to leave and they say, so Lord, are you at this time, let me pull it up, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of God to Israel? I have this tendency in my life, when there is a break in the clouds, right, when the fog does part and clear, I have this tendency when finally the thing I've been waiting for comes along, I just want to say, yay, Lord, let's do this, let's go, nothing's holding us back now. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of God to Israel? And Jesus just, I can almost picture him just a little sad laugh, saying it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that God has laid out. I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you what's coming next because unlike Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. Jesus, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. It's just not. But you will receive power. You will receive power for the season that you find yourself in. To everything, there's a season and a time for every, and you will receive power for the season that you find yourself in. You will receive power for the time that you find yourself in. You won't necessarily find yourself delivered from the moment, but you will find power for the moment if you'll seek the Lord for that instead of for escape. There's another place, Acts 17. And I love this one. It's one that I come back to all the time. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is talking to the people and he just says, look, here's the big idea. It says, from one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit, the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and their boundaries. You know, there's something in me when I look at human history and I think there are cultures and there are kingdoms that are just too big to fail. But most of those kingdoms and cultures that were too big to fail at one time or another are now just tourist attractions. And it says God marked out the times and the seasons and the boundaries. God knows the times and the seasons. I don't. But he did this so that, I love it, it's Acts chapter 17, it's verse 26 and 27. It says, God did this so that they would seek him, because you're probably a lot like me. When the times are going good for me, when my kingdom is expanding, I don't seek God very much. Anybody with me on that? Come on, your kids are with you. They need to see you being honest. Yeah, when the times are good, you don't seek the Lord. You don't seek the Lord with the same kind of intensity that you do in other times. But he did this. He marked out the times. He marked out the seasons so that people would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. Because it's one thing to seek him. It's another thing to find yourself at a point of weakness that says, I'm ready to receive God. Whatever it is that you've got for me, whatever it is, has got to be better than what I don't have. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm open to whatever you have. I'm open. Would you speak? Speak, Lord. So that they would seek him and reach out to him and find him, perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. Because if you do a careful study, you'll recognize that if you want to find God, if you want to reliably find the presence of God, you don't go to the people who are victorious, you go to the people who are broken. If you want to reliably find the presence of God, you don't go to the people who are on top. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is near to the ones in the lower quadrant of the season and the cycle. And I don't know if you notice it, but sometimes the sweetest moments with the Lord are the very times when the Lord is the only one you can turn to. I want to take you to John chapter 11 for a minute. John chapter 11 is a story of a time when Jesus intentionally engineered showing up late to the party. He intentionally engineered a time to let someone down in the midst of a desperate prayer. John chapter 11, there was a man named Lazarus, and he was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This is the Mary. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Remember that story? I mean, it's an intimate moment, and it's her story is going to be told anytime the gospel is shared. And this is the people that called on Jesus. And Lazarus was sick. And so the sisters, they sent word to Jesus and they said, Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love is sick. You've healed strangers. You've healed people you've never met. Here's somebody you know. Here's somebody you love. And he's sick. He needs you. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. I've got the word end circled in my Bible. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus, verse 5, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. It is just right there in black and white. Jesus loved them. And so, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. That doesn't go together, does it? I mean, if somebody you love calls you and says, I got a problem, somebody you love calls you and says, I'm sick, somebody you love calls you and says, I'm scared, I might not make it. If it's somebody you love, you drop everything, right? If it's somebody you love, you go to them. If it's somebody you love, you come through. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so he stayed where he was for two more days. And he said, and then finally Jesus tells the disciples, he says, okay, now let's go back. And they, wait a minute, whoa, time out. Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and now you're going to go back? And Jesus said, Jesus basically says, look, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going there to wake him up. We do that, right, around death. We just can't bring ourselves to say it out loud, and so we use all these euphemisms. Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to go and wake him up. And they say, well, if he's asleep, you know, maybe the fever broke. Maybe he's better. Maybe he's going to get well. You know, if he's asleep, now's a good time to say, whew, okay, we should have gone. We didn't go. Why go now? And Jesus went on and he says, look, guys, he told them plainly, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, he says, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, right? I mean, just like Paul talked about, the times, the seasons, so that you might seek him, so that you might reach out for him and perhaps find him. I'm glad I wasn't there so that you might believe. Wait a minute. This is starting to feel like a setup. This is starting to feel like God's up to something that he didn't let us in on. By the way, God never promised he was going to let you in on all of his stuff. Okay? You know, there is a God. I'm not him. Anyway, he makes his way back. And when they hear that he's coming, Martha hears that he's coming and she goes out to meet him. And Martha reminds me of my grandmother a little bit. My grandmother, for those of you who ever remember, anybody remember Jean Harrison? You never really had to wonder what Jean was thinking because she would tell you, you know? And so Martha shows up. Jesus is coming back. Verse 21, John 11, 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That is cutting to the chase, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you've ever questioned God's timing. I don't know if you've ever felt stuck. I don't know if you've ever had a time when you really needed God to come through for you. But if you actually had the guts to say to God, God, if you're really God, I wouldn't still be stuck in this mess. God, if you're really God, why is the person I love suffering? If you're really God, why am I still in the same bondage that I've been in? God, if you are God. And right across the page in my Bible, I drew an arrow from one to the other. It's right across in the next column. Mary shows up, same words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You might expect that kind of thing from Martha because Martha is all about getting down to business. But Mary is the one who sits at Jesus' feet. Mary is the one who gives Jesus the benefit of the doubt. Mary is the one whose heart is tender toward Jesus. When she sees Jesus, she says the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They literally say the same words. It makes you think they've been having this conversation, right? Before Jesus shows up. I don't know if you've ever had a time when in the name of Christian fellowship, you get together and unburden yourself. And instead of being lifted and encouraged, somebody just like drags you further down. Boy, you're right. God really should have showed up. Yeah, you're right. There's times when we can actually, when we find ourselves stuck in a bad season, the person that we look to pull us out actually gets down in the muck and gets stuck even deeper with us. Anybody ever have? And so that's what's going on here. And Jesus, it says this, it says Mary is weeping. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the ones who had come along with her, and they're also weeping, it says he was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled. Come and see where we've laid him. And then the most memorized verse in all of Christian camp history, if you've ever If you've ever, you know, gotten brownie points for memorizing Bible verses, John 11:35, Jesus wept. It's our memory verse for the day. You ready? You're going to get a point for it. John 11:35, say it with me, Jesus wept. But he didn't just weep. He didn't just like dab his eyes with a Kleenex. Jesus weeps in such a way that everybody around him recognizes his grief. Man, there's something to be said for a God who doesn't let you cry alone. There's something to be said. There's something to be said for a Savior who meets you at your point of deepest need, at the point of your deepest heartbreak. Now, Jesus knows this was not going to end in death. This wasn't the end of the story. If anybody in the place should not have been weeping, it should have been Jesus, because he knew what was coming next. I assume he did. But he didn't weep for Lazarus. He wept for your broken heart. And every now and then, and maybe today is one of those days, in the time between the times, the Sunday between the Sundays, maybe now is a time when God just needs to come alongside you in your brokenness and weep with you, just even if it's just for a minute. It's not where the story ends, but it's an important step along the way. Jesus meets you where you are, comes alongside you in your grief and in your brokenness. I don't know if you've heard this story. 4 days he's been dead. Jesus says, roll the stone away. And they're like, oh, it's going to be terrible. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever had a time when God invited you to trust him, even though you've actually been kind of irritated that he hasn't shown up yet. And yet he asks you for a new place of trust, a new place of faith, a new place to meet him at. And he says, roll the stone away. And I don't know what went into the decision-making process, but they did. They did. They rolled the stone away, and Lazarus, come out, come out. And out he comes. And it's an incredible thing. And in fact, here's what it says. Here's what it says in John chapter 11. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes, let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit with Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed. Which harkens back to what Jesus said earlier. I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. Which harkens back to what Paul had said. He had done this so that you might seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, even though he's not far from any of us. And this story, I think, made a large impact on Peter. I just want to take you one more place. If you find yourself, questioning God's timing, if you find yourself in a bad season or really needing God to come through, there's a piece of Peter's go-to theology in 1 Peter chapter 5. You know what go-to theology? Your go-to theology is the theology you fall to. Your go-to theology is the theology that you actually live out of. It's not just the stuff that you've memorized, not just the stuff that you've written in a notebook. Your go-to theology is the stuff that gets you through the day. Well, part of Peter's go-to theology is 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, because sometimes you find yourself in a situation that you can't fix and you can't change it. And when you find yourself in a situation where you can't fix it and you can't change it, it's not time for you to double down. It's time for you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God, you're God, I'm not. God, I've tried, I can't. God, I'm sorry for the mess that I've made, and I don't know how to untangle it. You humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up, that he may exalt you, that he may bring you out in due time, at the proper time, in his time. in his time. My time and God's time, rarely the same. Rarely the same. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up, that he may draw you out, that he may call you to himself at the proper time, in due time, in his time. And then he goes on and he says, cast all your anxiety on him. Cast all your care on him. Cast all your worries, all your woes, all your fears, all your grief, all your more. Cast it all on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. Are you hearing me? He cares for you. Could I just invite you to kind of receive that as a confession in your own heart? Would you say, just say with me, he cares for me. Just say that with me, just quietly, from your heart to the Lord, he cares for me. He cares for me. Actually say it out loud. Doesn't have to be super, but just aloud, say it. He cares for me. Come on, say it, move your lips. He cares, I can see you, the lights are, say it, he cares for me. Sometimes people have a really hard time hearing that from God. Sometimes people have a really hard time receiving that. He cares for me. He cares for me. Say it again. He cares for me. He cares for me. And you know what happens when you receive that? He cares for me. It's like a light comes on in your soul. And you know where the enemy thrives in his lies is in the dark. Lord, would you just turn on the light? Say it again. He cares for me. Say it. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Cast your care, cast your fear, cast your woes. Throw it all on him because, Lord, you care for me. You care for me. Man, it's the Sunday between the Sundays. It's the time between the times. The build-up to Christmas was so beautiful and so strong. And the expectations for next year, God, please let next year be better. Yeah? Lord, please let next year be different. Yeah? Lord, please, in Jesus' name, come through for next year. Because I want to start with a clean slate and a fresh start. And in Jesus' name, there are things I want to leave behind when I change the calendar page. Would you stand up and let me pray this over you? Lord, in Jesus' name, as we stand in this moment, would you allow chains to begin to fall away from your sons and your daughters? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you come against the lies of the enemy that have kept us chained and bound? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you open the prison doors, give sight to the blind, strengthen the hands that hang down and the knees that have grown weak? Lord, in Jesus' name, even as we stand and breathe in you, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you turn the light on? Say it, he cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, gang, there are just some things that you would do well to leave behind as you move into this next year. There are some things that you would do well in this Sunday between the Sundays to offload, and that's what this altar is for. We would love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you, anoint you with oil. You may want to find a place all alone. You may want to bring somebody significant with you to the altar and just pray together and agree together in Jesus' name to bring the cross of Christ in the middle of my life, Lord. Shine your light inside me so that the shadows are behind me.